Yes, tell me what's on your mind.
So just an update on last week was that I've been less pushy. Acceptance has been higher.
Okay.
Overall, the frame of mind has been more relaxed. Then I heard a call of a snippet of a call you had with I think Sharon's sister on consciousness and, you know, the light within us. And of course I've heard this many times about the background and the blackboard of our life. But in that call, I just for a second I could sense that the background of my being.
Yes, absolutely.
And I just wanted to talk to you a little more about that.
Sure.
So, you know, one of the homeworks you'd also given me was, I think 2-3 weeks back in our last two sessions, that in the day, are you interacting with people as the body-mind person? And how many times are you interacting as just the presence?
This was in that call?
No, you had given me this homework.
Ah, okay.
And I have noticed that I'm practically always interacting only as the body-mind person.
Yeah, most of us are.
Sometimes, like if I just catch myself,
then
some little thing shifts, very little, for a very brief microsecond. It just gets looser, everything gets... I just want to, I don't know, feel that a little more.
How do you understand consciousness or the being? Or what does it mean to you?
I just understand the theory of NGD.
Yeah, theory of me.
That within us, there is something which is stable, which sort of knows that there is this body and there is the thoughts and there is all this drama. And it's a very quiet presence. Often ignored because we are so caught up with everything else. And usko bhi hum ekdam ghusa dete, I think, in everything else. But if we just try and look at it differently, like just take a step back, we can feel it.
Correct. Aur bahut jo bhi samajh mein aata.
So this space, this thing is, it's like this quietness within me.
Yes.
And everything seems okay in that space.
Yes.
It's lost fairly quickly.
Yeah.
Because I choose, I guess, to lose it.
So if you want to kind of explore it further, one of the best ways is to use questions. Which is called self-inquiry. But there are many different kinds of questions you can use. So, one of the easiest ones is, what is it that is hearing these words in this moment? You know? What is it that is hearing these words in this moment. So when you put a question like this and you pause, and we are not trying for an intellectual answer, we are trying to feel the answer, we are trying to be the answer. Right?
Yeah.
We think that this body mind is hearing, but the body mind is actually dead, it can't hear. It's only the consciousness within the body mind that can hear. The awareness can hear. Yes, maybe it's hearing through the body mind, but it's still consciousness hearing. So, another question you can use is, what is it in me that does not change? From morning to evening, in spite of all the moods and emotions I go through, what is it that does not change? Is that a good one? No, not good.
The first one sort of brought me more to the blankness.
The others are slightly more tricky, but don't hold your breath or don't stress your body, because people tend to hold their breath when they want to catch that state. So. Which becomes dangerous actually in the long run. Because then you train your body to hold the breath and you conclude that only by holding my breath can I hold the space. But you don't need to catch what is already present. Right? If there is light in your room, there is light in your room, right?
Yeah.
Though you never notice the light in the room, you only notice the objects in the room. Look at any object in the room. What's in front of you? What's in front of you?
Picture of Sai Baba.
Picture of Sai Baba. No, you don't notice the light. You only notice the picture of Sai Baba.
Yes.
But if the light wasn't there, you wouldn't be able to see that picture. So light is ever present and yet ever forgotten.
Yeah.
Right? So same way, consciousness is ever present and ever forgotten. And just as because of light you can see objects, because of consciousness you can experience and you can know. You can know this body, you can know this world, you can know sound, you can know taste, you can know anything. Right? So it's ever present and ever forgotten. And it is this consciousness, this one presence or this one being, that is the Son of God. This body is not the Son of God. The ego would love to believe that this body is the Son of God. The body is not. The body is just an appearance within consciousness. And it can express the Son of God. At a certain point in our evolution, when the systems are clean, when the body mind is purged of all its traumas and insanities, it can express the consciousness. It can express the Son of God, but that's all it is. It's a mouthpiece. It is not the Son of God, but the Son of God is not a body. It is the one universal being which makes everything possible, which makes even creation possible. Tell me what you're getting.
So, this consciousness in us is what is common between all of us also.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Is that same thread, or I don't know how to describe it.
In Akim terms, the one being the Son of God, is common in all of us. All these bodies are different manifestations of the Son of God. Even though they are asleep, they are still a manifestation of the Son of God.
Yeah.
What were you trying to say?
No, I was just trying to feel into
yes.
This being part of me.
So, the homework Akim gives is to continuously recognize or try and recognize this shared beingness within the other people present around us.
Yeah.
When you look at your son or your daughter, can you see, can you sense the shared being? Can you sense your sameness? The ego will never sense the sameness. It always senses differences.
Yeah.
Hence, it always uses judgment. Judgment is a way of making differences. Oh, you are like this, but I am like that. I was like this, you should be like this. When we talk to our children, when we talk to anyone, we are talking from the space of different. The ego is always talking from difference and separation. But if you connect with this consciousness or even question it or feel into it, you will start communicating from a different space where the one being is, the common being itself is communicating. It's like tapping into a larger intelligence and then that intelligence communicates. But because this is kind of habitually forgotten, it's been forgotten for a while, we need to create a new habit. We need to remember it again and again. Yeah, who's talking? Who's walking? Who's listening? Who's eating the food? Who's enjoying the food? These are very strange questions, though they look very simple. Like when you say, who's enjoying the food?
Who?
You assume that your tongue or the body is enjoying the food. But the body fundamentally can't enjoy anything. The body can't. It is the mind which is telling the story of, oh, this is such a wonderful dish and the salt is perfect and the sugar is perfect and blah, 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 blah. The body actually doesn't mind things. It is the mind which says, "Arey, aaj wo pichli baar jaisa nahi bana." Right?
Yeah.
So the enjoyment of the food seems to be a story of the mind. The mind seeks repetition of a memory. So, when we take the first bite of a dish, we immediately connect through memory to the last time we had the perfect biryani. And it is compared with the memory. Right? And if that memory matches, we say, yes, this is the perfect biryani. This is the perfect dish. Now the joke is that if your husband is eating the same biryani, he may not say it is the perfect biryani. Because in his memory, he might have a different reference. Right? So we have references for all things, including sex, including vacations. It's always being compared with the past. Hence, Jesus says you never really experience anything in this moment. I can see nothing as it is now. I am always seeing the past. Which is why most of us are blind, in a blind state. We are seeing and reacting to the past. So when we come to the question, who enjoys the food? It is simply memory seeking repetition, right? But that brings an even more tricky question. How can the mind enjoy food? The mind is just a thought software, right? How can software enjoy the biryani? See, that will not make sense.
Yeah.
How can a thought enjoy an apple? It is actually not even coming in direct contact with the apple or the food or the biryani.
Yeah.
Thought can only think thoughts. Thought can only create stories. So then we see that it's just a story of enjoyment. It's a very strange thing. So when you ask the question, who really enjoys the food? You will go into a rabbit hole, and it's beautiful to go there. It's a mysterious rabbit hole. And you may come to a strange point where you see that there's nobody inside enjoying the food. There's just some storytelling going on. And if that storytelling pauses, then there is no such thing as enjoyment of food.
Yeah.
Same thing applies to sexuality. Every time, every action that happens during sex, we are telling a story about it. We are judging it. We are saying, oh, this is good or this is not good or this could be better. But we are just telling stories, and based on those stories, we are deciding whether it's good or bad.
Ooh.
Yeah. But if the stories were not there, what could you experience in sexuality?
Nothing, actually.
So, the closer you come to that, the more you understand what consciousness is.
Ooh.
Yes, it is that part of you which is free from stories. It is that part of you which just witnesses everything. It just witnesses. It is the seer, the knower, the witnesser. Now, can consciousness enjoy biryani? You know, it's a very strange question.
No, yeah. It can't.
This is don't seek intellectual answers for that. These are explorative questions. These are light-hearted explorations. So any question of this type about, like, even what is hearing these words or who's hearing these words, we don't want an answer which kind of completes the game. It's like, okay, the mind is hearing it. It's finished.
Yeah.
It's a gentle exploration. We keep sensing into it until we reach that openness of consciousness itself. And then once we connect with that open, spacious presence, what we would like to happen is to have it constantly with us. So that when we're talking to someone, the presence is present. We are aware of the presence in the conversation. When we are taking a walk, we are aware of the presence. When we are taking a bath, we are aware of the presence. When we are having sex, we are aware of the presence. Right? Without the continuity of this presence in your life, you will always feel something is missing in your spirituality. Because if we are not in presence, we are in the mind. There is no third option here. If we are not in presence, we are in the mind. If we are in the mind, we are going in circles. We are, the ego is running somewhere.
Yeah.
There is no rest in the mind.
Yeah.
So then the aim is to live a life of presence. Tell me what's connecting.
So, while speaking with you right now, the separation, or rather the difference between the mind and the consciousness is becoming very, very clear. Like, I can't express it, but it's, there are two different things that's apparent right now.
Yes.
Over the day, sometimes it's all very muddy. Like,
yes. Mostly it is muddy.
Because we don't step back.
Because we are interested in other things.
Yeah.
Consciousness is just the focus. It's just like, where do you choose to focus in this moment? So we can focus on consciousness, or we can focus on the content of consciousness. The content of consciousness is thoughts, feelings, sensations, emotions, all of that. That's all in, as appearing in consciousness, right? If we take the movie example, you can focus on the screen, or you can focus on the movie itself. And because the movie seems to be so exciting, we always focus on the movie itself.
Yeah.
The screen is completely forgotten for the entire 2 hours, 3 hours of the movie. You don't remember the screen. Right? So the ego is always obsessed with that which is changing. The unchanging. The unchanging becomes invisible or pointless for the ego. Right? So even in our life, if we see, we always, where does attention go? It goes to that which is changing. Oh, this has suddenly become different. Or, oh, who moved the sofa from here to there? Any changes are noticed. The unchanging is not noticed. You forget it. Even on a blackboard, if you take a blackboard, a big blackboard, maybe it's a big 10-foot blackboard, and on that you write CAT cat. And if you ask people, okay, what do you see? They won't say, I see a blackboard. They'll say, I see cat.
Yeah.
CAT cat is written there. So the backdrop is always forgotten. Which is why the fish wonders what is meant by ocean. What do you mean by ocean? That's what one fish is asking the other fish. What is ocean? So for us, for humans, the same question is, what is consciousness? But that's exactly like the fish asking, what is ocean? Consciousness is everything. It is everything everywhere. Yeah. But still invisible, apparently. And the main reason is because our focus is on the changing, on the exciting. On the apparent safety and security and this and that and money and people and clothes and body and the appearances in consciousness, which is the movie, always seems to pull the attention. And the screen, which makes everything possible, is completely forgotten. Right? Now, The spiritual masters always said that your true nature is the screen. You are the screen. You are not a character in the movie. When we are seeing a movie, there are many characters in the movie.
Yeah.
Right? The master said, you are not the character in the movie. Stop being obsessed with the character. That is the hardest thing to do.
Yeah.
Stop being obsessed with the character. Even sometimes students who think they are very advanced and stuff. Obsessed with the character all the time. It's about me. What I think, what I feel, I am this. Stop being obsessed with the character and its future and its security and its all its stuff. Because wo ek character ka bahut lamba chauda tamjham hota hai. Hai na?
Yeah, it's never ending.
It's never ending. It has this history and the past and the traumas and the wounds and yes. And then it has a future which where it has to secure this, that and the other.
Mm-hmm.
And the masters would say that finally by hook or by crook you have to find who you are beyond the character. You're not the character, you're the screen on which the character appears.
Mm.
You are the screen on which the character appears. Mm. So hence that always brings up the question, how much clearing do you need? How much healing do you need for the body? Because wo bhi endless chal sakta hai.
Yeah.
So sooner or later, we got to move our attention a little bit here.
Yeah.
Can I at least for a few moments in the day? Try and sense into the screen, the background of existence, the being.
Oh.
At least for a few moments, can I stop being obsessed with the me? Aur zindagi ki jo puri conflict aur puri suffering hai, wo yahi hai, I am obsessed with me. There's a very, very strong, solid, dense sense of me. And if we go into any form of attack or defense and, you know, this kind of warfare that happens, the me becomes even more dense.
Yeah.
That's why Jesus says forgiveness. Forgiveness mein me soft ho jata hai. In grievances, the me is dense. So if we want to maintain density, we have to maintain grievance.
Yeah.
If we want to become like vapor, like transparent and empty, then we have to leave the past completely. What do you need the past for? Does consciousness need the past? Does consciousness need the future? Does consciousness even need this world? Who would I be if this world vanished? So that's another interesting question to play with. Maharaj used to ask another question. He would say, what was your face like before you were born? Yeah. What was your face like before you were born? Because if birth and death are not real, it's just the beginning and ending point of a dream, then we have existed before birth also. Similarly, we exist in deep sleep also. So, another question is, what is present in deep sleep that is present now also, in this moment? What is present in deep sleep that is also present in the waking state?
Does mind want to intellectually start answering the question?
It can try, but it, you know, it doesn't even have an intellectual answer for that.
Yeah.
Does it?
No.
Tell me what it wants to say.
So, I mean, the first thing that happened when you asked, this was the mind jumped in to say consciousness, though it's a theoretical answer.
Yeah, but it's not even a theoretically true answer. Because it's not your experience.
Yeah.
It's, look, I mean, yeah, you're right. Theoretically, it's correct, but it's not a felt, perceived, experienced answer.
Yeah.
So what if we make that into an exploration? Is there some part of deep sleep which is present now? Can I feel that? You see, now we are in a new territory then.
Yeah.
Is the perfect peace, silence, stillness of deep sleep present now? What if everything that has appeared from the moment I woke up, you know, when you wake up, this body mind world appears, seems to appear. What if everything that has appeared is a dream? What if the waking state is just another dream? If the waking state is just another dream, who is the dreamer? Right? If this entire universe is just another dream, who is the dreamer? Now, intellectual answers are not helpful here. This is more like a pondering. It's like a chewing gum. You got to play with this question multiple times. And rest in it and not be in a rush. See, the joke is, we already know the answer to all these questions. Because we are the answer. Not, I'm not about intellectually knowing the answer. You actually know the answer. But the mind seems to interfere and not let you get at the answer. So the ego mind seems to give a fake answer and say, don't go beyond this. This is the answer. Okay? What is same in waking state and deep sleep? Consciousness. Okay, you know the answer. Now go to work. Oh yeah, Ajka. So you know the real answer also. The experiential answer, but you will have to get out of the clutches of the ego and go deeper. And you should keep this in mind that there is a part of me which already knows the truth about this. There is a part of me, there is something in me which already knows the truth of all these questions. There is a part of me that experientially knows the answers also. Can I allow that part to come up and show me? Can I let it emerge and come up? Instead of, you know, that like the mind, what it does, it aggressively goes and looks for something. The mind aggressively looks for an answer. But this is not a aggressive looking. This is a very feminine style of questioning. where you are actually waiting for the answer to reveal itself. You are not like a masculine hunter going to hunt the beast and then you will stand on its dead body and say, I got it. You know? That's what the masculine mind does. It says, I got it. Mm. But this you can't get.
Mm.
I get it is a very dangerous thing. When that the one who says I got it, when that is absent, then something deeper is revealed. And that deeper thing is the answer. So the answer is not a verbal answer. It is a space, it is a sense of being, it is a sense of presence. It's in a different dimension than a mental answer.
Hmm.
Tell me what's connecting.
Yeah, so I can understand the aspect that I'm not going to be able to answer this if I'm desperate and in a rush. It has to be, you know, in a very spacious, slow, easing into it kind of a thing.
Yes. Yeah. It's
and,
go on.
And to do this, the whole obsession with the outside also needs to come down and because like last 1 week is the first time I even was interested in this aspect. Because I wasn't busy trying to control everything.
Yeah. Yeah, that is what we call passion. How deeply do we want to discover this? How badly do we want it? वरना तो स्पिरिचुअलिटी में भी आके लोग वही अबंडेंस और वही क्लियरिंग और वही रिलेशनशिप और वही चलते रहते the pure quest for truth is quite uncommon. That is called seeking truth for the sake of truth, seeking truth for truth's sake. Not for anything else, not to get any other benefit.
Yeah.
But just this deep desire to know who am I truly? Who am I truly? So when this becomes a kind of a burning passion, then we can spend all our time, or as much time as is possible, then inquiring it, because it's become important now. In the Zen monasteries, when people go to the monastery, they get one koan, you know. You've heard of the koan?
No.
A koan is a statement which you have to ponder on for a day, a week, a month, a year. The teacher will tell you just there's this one line and you've got to ponder it for 1 year. And that statement would be something like, what is the sound of one hand clapping? Yeah. What is the sound of one hand clapping? It's actually a brilliant question. It's mind-blowing. But to tell a normal ego that ponder on this, forget for a year, to ponder on it for a week, it was in the isme kya hai, ye to bakwas hai. I got better things to do. And it will forget it. Now, are those Zen masters fools who said hang with it for months, maybe even a year? They were trying to focus you somewhere. They were trying to focus the students in a different place, shifting of focus, shifting of focus. Yeah, na?
Yeah.
There were many Zen masters who would also say, ke, you know, when the new students come, students have a lot of questions. The masters would say, go work in the kitchen for 3 years. After that, you'll get to ask a question. Now, what ego can handle that? Very rare, right?
Yeah.
So the testing process itself was very rare, very difficult. Those olden type masters were always looking to see who's really interested.
Yeah.
Or kahan tak jayega? Is this just an intellectual curiosity which needs to be scratched? Now, if somebody is willing to work in a kitchen for 3 years to ask his question, then that guy is really ripe. He's really ripe. If he hangs in there.
Yeah.
Most people will say, I'll go to YouTube. I'll ask my question on YouTube. But you see, that's the game. That the intellectual answer is not going to help you. You will have to pay that price.
Yeah.
And that price is to give up your normal mind. That's the price. The normal ego mind has to be given up, and that is what we don't want to give up.
It's just that when we see the pain of the normal ego mind, then the price doesn't seem like a bad price to pay. I mean, our normal existence is so shitty actually most of the times. That it's...
We say that sometime. But then immediately, you know, we bounce back into it.
Because the attraction for that is a lot, GD.
There are many reasons for that. But the main thing being that only, that if it is seen clearly that this doesn't work, then you take a new direction. I mean, that is the whole story of the Buddha, right? Buddha's, what is Buddha's story? Why did he leave the palace? He realized this doesn't work, this is not going to help.
Yeah.
This is going to take me nowhere. Now, utni clarity or utna courage agar hai, so then you are like the Buddha then. So did you get your questions for consciousness?
Yes. I have one more question that's coming up related to being with this space. Do people like me who live these kind of normal worldly lives, are there people who manage to live in this space? Or is it just a dream for us?
Tricky question. So what you're asking is, does a householder, can he sustain the space of consciousness? Can he live in beingness?
Yes.
It's a little tricky. If his passion is strong, he will.
Okay.
He can. But in 8 out of 10 cases or 9 out of 10 cases, the structure of their life itself becomes the biggest distraction. The life is structured in such a way. See, why did people make ashrams? आश्रम की जरूरत ही क्या है?
क्रिएट दैट स्पेस.
इट गिव्स यू या स्पेस एंड टाइम एंड अ न्यू रूटीन. इट ओपन्स आउट योर माइंड फ्रॉम द ग्राइंड, द डेली ग्राइंड. So it's not that householders can't do it, but their passion has to be really strong to be in the it's the example of that kamal, you know, the lotus in the pond. You will have to be the lotus in the pond. You are somehow beyond everything that's occurring around you. You are there, but you are not there. That even while you are a householder, your thoughts are somewhere else. You are a sadhak even while being in the household.
Yeah.
But again, 8 out of 10 times, it becomes the opposite. The household becomes a way to forget your sadhana. The household becomes a justification for the ego to avoid and escape the truth.
Yeah.
So they literally, the ego mind will put them against each other. It will become this versus that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It will create this strange conflict. No, it's possible to be a sadhak in your house. The question is, while being in the house, where are you focused? While being in the house, what are your thoughts about?
Yeah.
Right? The other thing that happens, I asked you, why do people make ashram? What is the need of an ashram? What is the need of a retreat? Forget just ashram, even the retreat. The use of that is consistency, continuity.
Yeah.
You also used to call it satatya. To consistently be in a certain space. From morning to evening. Mostly what happens to modern students is they get a little glimpse of it and then it's gone. Then they're off to other things.
Yeah.
We hear something, we sit for meditation, we read an Akim lesson, we get something beautiful and then we're off to something else. So the continuity and the consistency is constantly breaking. It's like you've got something, it's gone. Then again you're trying to catch it after 6 hours or 4 hours.
Yeah.
Right? The mind is back. You're rolling in the mind. You're rolling in the mind. Then again for a moment you step out of mind and it feels beautiful. And then you're back in the mind and again you're rolling in the mind.
Yeah.
So how to create consistency? How to maintain the space without getting bored? Maharaj used to warn students all the time. He said, don't get bored of peace. Because that is also an ego trap. So boredom is an ego trap. So to continuously, to satat, Hindi mein shabd hai satat, to constantly be in that space, to walk, to talk, to bathe, to drive, jitna ban sake. Jitna ban sake. So what's missing for many of us is the continuity. Can we sustain it? Maybe not the whole day, but जितना हो सके कैन यू सस्टेन इट अ लिटिल मोर, कैन यू जस्ट गिव इट मोर टाइम एंड स्पेस.
I think what's coming to me is also that it will also depend on how burning is the desire. Because then you'll be willing to structure your life, or you'll be willing to make changes to your, even in the grahastha ashram or household
Correct.
Life, make
Correct.
Changes to the life
Correct.
To match that.
Correct.
Hmm.
Now you say burning passion, you can also use the word common sense.
Yeah. No. I mean passionate to,
I know, I
to
get you.
Seek this.
I'm yeah. saying it's a good word you used. But again, that burning passion seems like a far away mystical thing. Like, you know, you say, I don't have the burning passion.
Hmm.
The ego will cheat you on that word.
Yeah.
That's why I'm giving you another word, which is common sense. When we clearly see that that's the only way out.
Yeah.
And it's not burning passion, it just makes sense.
Yeah.
It just makes sense, that's all. So why give it even this mystical burning passion and then we'll wait for the burning passion?
Yeah.
No. It just makes sense. At some point in time, it starts to make sense. When it makes sense, you are then willing to put all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
Normally, the ego will never put its eggs in one basket. It always keeps one foot out the door, you know, one foot on the other boat. We are in two boats at the same time.
Yeah.
Tell me what you're getting.
This two boats thing is so true. They're like one foot out. One to in, one foot out. I've been just praying to God in the last 1 week to just help me see this and just help me see and take the right steps.
Yes. That's a good prayer.
And I've been praying to him that I need him to come to me and take me with him on the path, because I'm too scared to go any further. There's an Akhil prayer which says that, you know, and basically what I got out of it is that God will come and carry you.
Okay.
You have to just be willing to, I mean, just trust the fact that He has the strength even if you don't.
Yeah, but that's the key word, no? Willing.
Yeah.
And when we are fearful, it means we are divided. Fear is not willingness, no? Willingness means I am fully ready. Here I am. You know, ajao. I am fully ready, fully open. Bolo kya karna hai? Bolo kahan jana hai? Come on.
Yeah.
That's the prayer. I am ready. But if you ask the ego mind, are you really ready? He'll say, you know, I have those three things left to do.
But is it not okay to pray to God to help build the readiness also?
You can. I said it's a good prayer. But you would have to look at fear. What is, there is a part of us with that ego mind says, okay, take me out. But it also wishes ki haan aaj nahi aana.
Yeah.
Aaj nahi aana, thodi time ke baad aana type. So that's where this kind of fantasy is needed. Yes, any final comments?
Is there a homework thing that can help me with this?
नहीं सब सही तो चल रहा है सही चल रहा है इसलिए तूने ये क्वेश्चन भी तो पूछा ना सो देयर नो स्पेसिफिक होमवर्क जस्ट कीप डूइंग व्हाट यू आर डूइंग विथ अ लिटिल मोर डेडिकेशन लिटिल मोर कमिटमेंट We are so committed to so many areas of our lives. A tremendous commitment to our relationships, to our family, to our jobs, to our money, to our houses, to our cars. We are committed to so many things. We need some of that commitment here. We are very casual about this. That casualness is at one point it is becomes painful. So in some sense it is fair to say that seeking the truth is not a casual business. I call it light-hearted, but light-hearted is not casual.
Yeah.
A certain sincerity, a certain commitment, a certain energy, a certain focus. A certain dedication, a certain devotion is needed. I want this. I really, really want this. And I'm willing to pay any price for it. That's the real prayer. I really, really want the truth. I really, really want to know who I am. And whatever is required to make that happen, I will do. I am not going to resist anymore. I am not going to cheat anymore. I am not going to fight. I am not going to argue. I am not going to be clever. I am not going to be distractive all the time.
Yeah.
I am going to be like a straight arrow. That arrow, once it leaves the bow, you know, it's straight. It doesn't go left, it doesn't go right, it goes straight to its goal. So I want to be that arrow. The arrow that's heading towards the truth. When that is our state of mind, when that is our position, we are unstoppable. ठीक है काफी है